Where, when, how does the prophet appear in polarized times? I ask, of course, because those are the times we inhabit now. All throughout this church year, I am preaching a sermon series about the spiritual sources of our living tradition, the faith that all Unitarian Universalist congregations such as ours covenant to affirm and promote. Although in this religious tradition we share from, draw from many sources, our UUA principles and purposes name six in particular. The second of these sources is the words and deeds of prophetic women and men, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. These words and deeds are recorded in sacred scriptures collected millennia ago, as well as in various history books, and in the headlines we read today. Just this week, for instance, I found myself transfixed by a Washington press conference, which is not my habit. Rather, I should say, I was riveted by an unexpected continuation of a press conference. The current Speaker of the House of Representatives, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi of California, started it predictably enough with small talk, asking reporters whether they had had a happy Thanksgiving. Some patter followed when a reporter asked if she expected the press to have a good Christmas. She remained vague and upbeat. "We will see," she replied. "Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, you know, the holidays." But what the press really wanted to discuss were the impeachment inquiry into the president's activities while in the White House. She answered their questions and then closed out the briefing. On her way out the door, though, a stray reporter fired a question asking her if she hated the sitting president. Suddenly, nothing felt pro forma anymore. Madam Speaker turned on her heel and walked back to the podium, clearly angry. What angered her, she said, was his use of the word hate. Earlier, she had made mention of acting in humility with congressional colleagues with a heart full of love for America. She sternly insisted, "I don't hate anybody, not anybody in the world. I think it's an important point." Saying that, she instantly became convinced of the need for further clarification. She listed her categorical objections to the responses of this presidential administration in ignoring escalating gun violence, the plight of immigrant children, and the growing climate crisis. "However, that's about the election," she said. "Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States," she concluded, "and the presidential oath of office. I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me," the congresswoman told him. Obviously indignant, she repeated, "I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full of love and always pray for the president, and I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time." On that note, she made her final and much more dramatic departure. Why were there tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat watching her leave? It was certainly not because I'm a sucker for political theater. The tears and the lump were there because I truly believed the congresswoman. In her intensity and her outrage, I believed in the love she had for her country, in her pride at our immigrants and their children, and in the prayer she said for the president. She rejected the all too prevalent assumption that serious disagreement necessarily involves deep enmity, that we must despise our opponents and demonize our adversaries, and instead remained focused on the iniquities she saw. Her words sounded prophetic to me in keeping with the spirit celebrated by our living tradition, in their challenge to confront powers with compassion and the transforming power of love, including, indeed, love for our foes. In her latest book, The Time Is Now, A Call to Uncommon Courage, author, activist, and Benedictine nun Joan Chittister contends, Prophecy is a matter of dialogue, of education, of process, of patience, not force. The message grows on us, and the soul grows too. The soul can grow enormously, but also slowly. While Sister Joan recognizes the long biblical tradition dating back to the prophets depicted in the Hebrew scriptures, she also recognizes that prophecy can take a number of forms as it adapts to shifting circumstances, present ones included. As the Congresswoman noted, we are approaching any number of holidays this month, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and Christmas. But before Christmas in the Christian church comes the liturgical season known as Advent, which commemorates the expectancy of Mary before the Nativity of Jesus. In our reading this morning, we heard that famous biblical declaration of Mary, called the Magnificat, rendered into contemporary language. We are enlarged, rejoicing in the face of freedom. There is strength here like the sinew of a mother's arms. It upholds the forgotten, the scarred. Hunger, both body and soul, will be filled, the Magnificat proclaims. It promises us the birth of unforeseen possibility, a forward tilt into a perhaps better future. In the Western world, especially sentimental notions of the Madonna have kept us from hearing Mary speaking with a clear prophetic voice and Magnificat, and also from recognizing how indisputably she belongs in the lineage of the Hebrew prophets. An outmoded image of a prophet depicts a wild-eyed man who is righteous but also furious, a public figure railing against the world. But there are different tones of prophetic witness and also different modes. As commentator Nancy Rockwell recently observed, Mary is well-spoken, wise, gritty, not unlike other powerful Jewish women of religious lore. And like them, she herself is determined, not domestic, free, not foolish, holy, not helpless, strong, not submissive. Mary remains a spiritual teacher for us all in what she is willing to bear for future generations. As much as the prophet says no, Sister Joan reminds us the prophet also says yes. Yes, especially to the embrace of life, the pursuit of wholeness, the acceptance of others, the call to co-creation. We cannot let what prophecy states in the affirmative be overlooked in what it contests in the negative. Often the bravest word the prophet speaks is a yes, an expectant yes. Yes to something yet unknown. Prophets then and prophets now are those who look at life as it is, hard of heart for many, unfair for most, and set out to expand it. Prophets simply refuse to accept a vision of tomorrow that is limited to the boundaries of yesterday, Sister Joan observes. The question, what will you do, is at the core of spiritual maturity. The rest of the world, caught in the violence of the time, knocks at our gates, begging for room at the inn, and you and I, she asks, what are we doing about it? We cannot withdraw ourselves or deny our present reality. We cannot shrink with fear the emboldened forces of oppression of any political persuasion. In dark days, our souls must be magnified. Our concern and care must be amplified along with our objection and argument. If we are to stand with the prophets, the holiest prophets, those must be our grounds. Do not let yourself be diminished by these times. Be enlarged instead. Allow yourself a beating heart full of hope. Spare yourself feelings of hate and resentment, even if you think you cannot. You dare not. Be more daring. Sister Joan tells a story of an elder in the city who for years decried the greed and corruption she saw there. At first, several residents would stop and listen at her regular protests. Then, over time, fewer stopped, and then almost no one was listening. Finally, one day, a youth interrupted her protest to say, "No one here is listening to you." She told him, "Oh, I know that." Her answer surprised him. "If you know that, then why do you go on protesting?" She explained, "You do not understand. I do not protest in order to change them. I protest so that they do not change me." There's a profound truth in this tale. What we do or do not do over time undeniably changes who we are. In every region, everywhere, there are the unsung but mighty voices of community, high-mindedness, and deep resolve, Sister Joan contends. They are the prophets of each era who prod the rest of the world into seeing newly what it means to be fully alive, personally, nationally, and spiritually. One reason people join faith communities like UU Wellesley Hills is so they can meet such people. Another reason they join such communities is so they themselves can become them. Each of us is a potential prophet in word and deed. Prophets need not hold national political office or enter a religious order in order to bear powerful witness. They can do this locally, nationally, or globally. The scale is not the defining measure. The message is the measure of prophecy. Prophetic leadership lies in the vision of goodness it puts before us, Sister Joan maintains. A secure and stable national future for a global community can no longer be taken for granted. We have a choice. At the same time, alt-right and far-left political positions are dividing peoples everywhere, Sister Joan reports. Breaking news: the world is a landmine of difference. This moment is a daunting one. Perhaps you have sensed that already. Increasingly, I have less and less patience with the ruthless partisanship of our era. The personality clashes we are asked to watch play out on public stages where there are crucial principles at stake, matters of life and death. We do not have time for hate. As Sister Joan says, ours is a world in wait. It waits for some wise and wild voices to lead us back to spiritual sanity. Our world waits for you and me. Our world seems to hang in the balance, so there is a marked sense of urgency these days, urgency alongside the expectancy. This year at UU Wellesley Hills, we have reorganized our Social Action Council and welcomed new leadership to it. Now the council consists of dedicated task forces that work on focused social concerns, with the notable exception of our Advocacy and Witness Task Force, which has a broader portfolio and addresses issues as they arise at the state and local level. Advocacy and witness cannot do it all, even with all of us throwing ourselves behind them. Advocacy and witness cannot do it all. And certainly, it cannot do it all at once. So it does what it can, as all of us ought, often quite well. Between the holidays, a number of unofficial designated days have emerged in recent years. You are likely familiar with them: Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday. If your inbox looks anything like mine, it was flooded by requests all last week for Giving Tuesday. So we all have to make choices where we give, how much we give, when we give. There's much we want to reject and renounce, but only so much we can affirm and support. So it is imperative that we hear our own yeses. Shall we do something to reshape the heart and soul of the worlds we inhabit? Or shall we do nothing and claim that we were powerless in the world, Sister Joan inquires. There is risk to every life. Those who risk nothing risk much more, the Talmud teaches. Prophetic persons tap their courage and determination, and take risks. In some traditional Advent observances, much is made of the visit the angel Gabriel pays Mary when he tells her, "Be not afraid." To my mind, the bigger story is that she herself heeds that angelic counsel. She has so much to fear, and yet she chooses to not be afraid anyhow. She exercises her spiritual freedom, as women throughout the ages have done, and proclaims her faith. Author and activist Dorothy Day said in Our Own Time, "Don't worry about being effective, just concentrate on being faithful." Don't worry about being effective, just concentrate on being faithful. Prophetic witness is not about the aggrandizement of the self or winning awards or being accepted socially, Sister Joan writes. Our witness is instead about doing what we can, when we can, where we can, how we can, and waiting and watching for those moments, remaining alert to any possibilities that might arrive. Calling us to the altar of life, the Reverend Angela Herrera says, "Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards, and the world needs vision. Bring yours with you, and your joy, and your passion, bring your loving, and your courage, and your conviction. These polarized times need your yes as much as your no, if not more so. Let your words and deeds speak each. You are the prophetic women and men of today, whether or not you realize it yet, prophetic persons all. You are the continuation of our living tradition. Through the holidays and well beyond them, embody prophecy folk and renounce all forms of hate offered you. Do not be diminished by these times, be enlarged. Connect with the transforming power of love, and your soul is already magnified." Can you feel that?